We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Morning, Steve.
I got to do some background here. You were appointed chief in January of 2016. Now, correct me if I get any of this wrong. 3.5 years on the job. Are you enjoying the work?
I do. I love. I believe I was put on the earth to do this work.
This is what you were meant to do.
Yes.
What do you like to do when you get some time off, though?
Spend it with my family. Yeah, I'm a family guy.
Just hang out, huh?
Hang out, fish.
Fish?
Swim, yeah.
Is this a good place to fish, Kansas?
There's some honey holes around here, Steve. Yeah.
I don't get out much. Hey, we saw some figures. I wanted to let you comment on a couple of things. We saw some figures recently that indicated some pretty high crime rates for Wichita. But I looked at that and said, that's from 2017. Are those the most recent statistics available?
No. Crime ebbs and flows, right? It goes up and down. For instance, this year our homicides were 25% less than we were last year. I mean, we had 25 last year. This year we're at 14.
So, yeah, that was my next question. What are you seeing in recent months then?
Yeah,
we're looking
so
good.
We really have focused on now. Well, first of all, I got to preface it by saying police are the face of crime, but crime is much bigger than just police, right? I mean, if it was up to the police to reduce crime, we'd have a lot more police, right? But there's systems. There's the criminal justice system. You got prosecutors, probation, parole, all that are a part of the criminal justice system to keep crime down. But also it's community. And community has a role in that. And I think that, you know, between the hard work of our cops and partners in the criminal justice system and community, I think that's why we're seeing a good year.
I'm going to ask you about something that came up recently, and I want to keep this as general as possible, but there was something that came up about the Internal Affairs Department at the Police Department, and you'd done some things and made some changes. I want some general information. What does the Internal Affairs Department do in a police department?
They're essentially, they do the policy violation investigations.
Anything that's internal then?
So any internal misconduct cases. Along those lines.
And you were, according to the story, you got involved a little bit with some of the questions they were asked. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, it's old news, right?
Yeah,
so
I know,
it's 3.5 years.
That's something that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I first got here, and it was simply a philosophy difference from the way things were being done to the way I wanted them to be done.
Okay.
And it's not that anybody was doing anything wrong or there was any corruption. It was just, I have a different philosophy.
And that happened quite a while ago then, huh?
Yeah, okay. When I first got here.
All right.
Yep.
Well, that is old news. About over there. Now, tell me a little bit about something that we've learned about recently, and that's the integrated core team. Is that what? Integrated core team. Is that what
yeah.
it's called?
Well, it's for mental health response.
Care team.
Yeah. Yep. And the amount of mental illness we're facing, and you and I have talked about this many times, is it's almost hard to comprehend the amount of calls that we get and receive related to mental health in our community. And it's frankly overwhelming our criminal justice system because the criminal justice system really wasn't designed to deal with mental health.
And yet you're getting them out there.
Yes.
Your colleague over at the counties basically said, the sheriff said, the state needs to step in here and build some sort of facility here.
Yeah. Well, 35 to 40% of his inmates suffer from mental illness. And in many cases, our jails are the mental institutions of the past.
You know, I was talking about with my daughter this the other night, and she's pretty conservative, you know, and talking about what happens with, you know, if a government doesn't take care of some of these needs. I mean, it's tough, and it costs money, but it comes around, and it bites you on the rear end if you don't take care of it at the other end, right?
Right. Well, and so the police are your mental health responders of first and last resort. And, you know, I'll advocate for our cops at the end because they have a very tough job. And you throw in, you know, now we got body cameras. We watch every move they make. Now you throw in the volatility of mental health and, you know, God forbid one of our guys or gals should make the wrong decision because...
And they do from time to time.
Well, we hire standard issue people as much as I love them, right?
Human beings.
Yeah.
So, but the integrated care team, is that three people involved? Yeah, so how is this going to work?
Yeah, it is someone from fire, someone from police, and someone from Sedgwick County EMS that will focus on some of our most serious cases and try and get them stable so we're not responding over and over again. And it's a model that is based on what other cities are doing, and they've seen phenomenal success with call reduction.
This will it be a team or a group of teams? Will they be available 24/7 then? I presume if somebody's – let's just take a hypothetical situation. A person is – they're barricaded in a house, and they're
threatening – No, different.
That's a different deal?
Yeah, different deal.
Okay.
Yeah, barricaded subject is very different than – so this is proactive. A lot of our mental health stuff is not violent, not serious. It is kind of behavior that is more quality of life behavior, right? Not violence, not people getting hurt.
All right, so I misunderstood this. I thought this would be, it's like almost like a mental health SWAT team to bring in.
Yeah. No, so we've been training our cops for years on crisis intervention training that deals with the volatility, those volatile cases. But, yeah, no, they are going to be working more getting people stable. The goal is, you know, we know that with mental illness, if we can get people on their meds, get them stable, we can get them housing, employment, and get them off the street, and they can live a more productive and happier life. But the trick is getting them stable. That's what this team will work on.
You had we had a call the other day or a night where domestic violence, I think, just kind of morphed into a mental health issue, and there was a shooting involved in it.
Yeah, you know, Steve, a lot of our mental health too is driven by drug abuse, right? Drug induced psychosis versus the organic mental health that oftentimes we think of it. And, you know, there hasn't been any big studies that show the correlation between the current mental health state and drug abuse. But I think if you were to ask our cops, they would say it's very high.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about, I think we'll talk a little more about drugs in a moment here. But what about, tell me about gun violence in Wichita. Is it just my imagination or do we seem to be having more gun violence in the last couple of 3 years?
We have seen, and actually since 2013, our aggravated assaults have gone up substantially. Now, some of that is the way we are dealing with domestic violence, where we're taking domestic violence much more seriously and trying to get felony charges in cases of strangulation. But, we've seen an increase in guns stolen from cars and in burglaries, and believe that in many cases these are targeted burglaries that are looking for guns. And too often now people are solving their issues through gun violence. But it's people that know each other. It's not random for the most part. It's usually people that have a beef that can't resolve their conflict through normal means.
And you got the police departments, you've talked about this a lot recently, I think, about when people are law-abiding citizens, let's say, are transporting a firearm in their car, they got to make sure it's secure or don't even put it in the car.
Don't leave it in the car.
Yeah.
We have hundreds of guns stolen from cars every year. And oftentimes in neighborhoods where people feel safe, where, you know, they leave their car in their driveway, their car unlocked, they'll leave guns. Every week we see guns, purses, wallets, computers, checkbooks, and it's a problem.
Yeah, and my next question was about property crimes in general. Burglaries, thefts, things like that. You see an increase in that? Well,
burglaries historically have been going down for the last couple of decades. And I think one of the things that's driving burglaries down now is the increase in technology, the video cameras that people have. I mean, almost everybody, more and more people are getting these. And on every block, we're finding that usually someone has one. And in many of our follow-up cases on crime, we're using that video to help prosecute and find the suspects.
How about a gang problem? We still got a gang problem?
Yeah.
We always have one?
Not like it used to, I don't believe. But, to a certain extent, a lot of our shootings usually have a gang connection. Mm. But I would say it's, from what I hear in the past, before I got here, that things have quieted a little bit. Yeah. Still a concern, and we still want to keep kids out of gangs.
Talk a little about your department's efforts in the area of sex crimes and human trafficking.
Well, human trafficking, we continue to find more and more of it, partially because we learn more about it. You know, 20 years ago when I was doing some prostitution work, human trafficking was right under our nose, and we weren't really understanding all of it like we do today. We know that runaway youth, 60 to 70%, often end up getting involved in human trafficking. Those numbers are astounding. So we've changed our practice. We've got a very thorough follow-up for runaways. But this is a serious issue, and I don't think that mainstream America understands how serious it is.
Tell me about what role does the World Wide Web, the Internet, play in it, social media? Does it have a role
more and more?
Okay.
And when I was doing this prostitution work 20 years ago, we saw that evolve where, you know, you could go to certain websites to see where you could pick up a street prostitute. Well, now it's, you know, there's different elements where you can meet people. Child pornography is a major issue that we deal with, an almost overwhelming issue that we deal with today.
Do we see any young people that are getting involved thinking they're corresponding with somebody who's their age, and then they go and they get involved, taken off the street somewhere?
Yeah, if you have young children, they are particularly vulnerable on the Internet, on their phones, and very worrisome. We see it fairly frequently where relationships of youth are kindled online and they end up disastrous.
Let's backtrack a little bit and just talk a little bit generally about the role of drugs and alcohol in local crime. Would you say that it's what percentage of the cases you see is there drugs or alcohol involved?
Yeah, after 10 o'clock,
80%, 90%?
After 10 o'clock, 90 plus percent.
Oh.
Yeah, it drives our crime.
All right. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. Talk a little bit about domestic violence. I know this is one that keeps you busy. We go to the InterWatch briefing, Ted Woodward does, just about every day, and he looks at those case jackets down, and he sees a lot of DV on there,
yeah,
a lot of domestic violence.
Of our serious assaults, about 48, 47% of our serious assaults involve domestic violence. And very concerning numbers. Our third most responded to call in the city is domestic violence, and it's something as a community we need to focus more on, make sure it has resources, and that we support victims that are in those situations.
Well, the person who is the victim, and I've done several interviews on this, but sometimes that can be quite a trap. Somebody's there, and the person who's abusing them is the source of income. It's a complicated issue, isn't it?
It is. You know, for people that haven't been involved in those situations, a lot of it is revolves around money, manipulation, you know, threats, abuse to keep the victim in that scenario. And, you know, all too often it involves violence. And I can tell you that about 10 to 20% of our homicides every year are domestic violence related.
Okay. Any progress in, again, we were talking about people with mental issues. Tell me a little bit more about the training that your people have been going through regarding this.
Well, they all have basic mental health training. I can tell you in the early 90s when I went to the academy, we received none. And we didn't deal with the mental health issues like we do today. I have seen it evolve over the last 26 years where the mental health issues that our cops are dealing with, it's become one of the primary roles.
Do you have, when they're in that training, do we use a psychologist, psychiatrist?
Tell me about. So part of it, so there's a basic training called mental health first aid training that just kind of touches on the basics to understand. And then there's a more in-depth crisis intervention training for police officers that really helps them understand the why someone's behaving that way, the different types of psychological issues that are faced, how to de-escalate volatile situations involving the various psychological issues that are out there.
You know, I'm very seldom involved with the police department in a criminal way. I mean, I never have been. But I know that when the police are on any kind of scene, that there is a demeanor that says that you have to assume that you're taking charge and that you are in charge. And that's right. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But then how do you deal with that person who's going bonkers? Is it the same way, or do you lighten up a little bit?
Yeah.
Or do you have to take every case differently?
Everything is different.
Yeah.
Now, you know, policing evolves, and we know that some of our practices in the past were not always the best way, right? Because this is we're in the human business, and human stuff isn't always predictable. But, yeah, we're always looking at trying to be the best we can be.
How big an issue is cybercrime? And I'm talking not necessarily about trafficking and sex crimes, but I'm talking about cybercrime, people getting swindled and things like that. Do you get involved in that?
We do. People are a lot more aware now of some of the internet scams. What we're seeing is, you know, it's called the phishing scam, and not like phishing like I was talking about earlier, but where they send you an email, they get into your system, and then they're able to get into your private accounts, banking accounts. You know, much more sophisticated ways of stealing people's money, and a lot of it involves getting access to your computers nowadays.
Do you have a special unit involved in that?
We do. Yep. Financial crimes works with a lot of these cyber crimes, and we're talking people are losing a substantial amount of money by others getting into their accounts. And it often starts with clicking on the wrong email.
Yeah, and we have this here in business.
Yeah.
We're constantly saying, hey, if you see this, delete it. Yes. Don't open the file.
That's what's Florida. I saw Florida City recently got hacked, and that's how they got in. And they paid a $600,000 ransom to the hackers, and it's scary.
So how often have you gone to City Manager Bob Layton and said, we need a couple of thousand here for this or that? And never?
Oh, well, you know, no police chief has enough resources in this
country. Well, I mean, to pay off some hacker. Right.
Yeah, could you imagine? I'd be sweeping your floors.
Barbecue you there.
Yeah.
Tell us about the efforts that you've made in to connect with the community. We call it community policing, whatever you want to call it. This has been going on before you got here,
yes.
But I don't know on the same scale. What all have you done?
Yeah, well, community policing here has ebbed and flowed through the years.
Yeah.
But for me, more than ever right now, you know, there's just this, you know, it always seems that the cops are getting bashed in the media. And, you know, almost every day I turn on the morning news nationally and you see, you know, a police officer getting in trouble for this. And that is so far from the reality that we are. Our cops are doing good things every minute of every day. The problem is that it gets overshadowed by one bad national incident, and you know, all of our cops get painted with that brush. And I think it's one of the biggest frustrations that we face today.
And it is. I can see it as a person in the media because a story happens and it has a life. I mean, it takes
right.
a life in all this mass media.
Yes,
we're talking about all the cable TV channels are going 24/7. And that crime that happened once, or that incident that happened once, is now happening thousands of times.
Right.
Well, look at videos. So exaggerated.
Right. Well, look at videos on social media. You know, that was when the social media entities started to allow you to put videos. That's not one of the biggest portions of social media. People like to see the videos. And oftentimes, the snippet you see of police isn't the whole picture. And many times, there is times where an officer makes a mistake. But it's just too bad that... you know, so back to the community policing, part of it is people need to know their police, and they need to know that the character of them, and they need to know what wonderful men and women they are. And it takes our officers, they got to have the time to get to know people so that this myth of what's being spread out there can be broken down.
On that same vein, tell us about body cams. Where are we at on that? Everybody got one now?
All of our patrol officers have them. All the patrol sergeants have them. And we are collecting a lot of videos every day. And, you know, we allow people to look at the video if they have a complaint. And 9 times out of 10, it's resolved after the person sees it.
I was going to say, but the good part is that you have something there to show the person who's annoyed,
yes.
annoyed with you.
Yeah.
But to still show enough of the picture that's really happened?
Most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, but think of the cops, right? I mean, these guys have got to wear these things for everything they do. They are the expectations of our police today is almost beyond human, right? So they got to go on these crazy calls of situations that you really it's hard to make up, and then deal with them delicately, professionally, and then do that call after call after call and never stumble.
You know, it's a similar situation, a similar conversation I've had with educators. teachers.
Right.
Some of the, they're asked to do some of the same stuff.
Yes.
Dealing with all the crud that goes on in society.
Yeah. Well,
And not just being a law enforcement officer, but you got to be a social worker. And,
right.
You know,
and do it with perfection.
Yeah. Yeah. You get God. So, but body cams, back to that for just a second.
Yeah.
You are generating so much. How many police officers do we have? Over 400 now? Or?
Well, that are wearing the body cameras? Yeah, there's 400 some that have body cameras.
And, of course, they're not going to have to look at everything every day, but that generates, if you're retaining something for evidence purposes, it takes a lot of space.
Tens of thousands of videos a month.
It takes a lot of space.
Yeah, and that's the biggest expense with the body cameras is storing that data.
So what about the budget this year? I mean, we're in the budget process. You guys, I'm sure you're working on budgets all year long, but coming up in August, they finalize them, I think, and put the stamp on them.
Yeah.
How's your budget going? Are you way over budget this year?
No, we're right on, and we haven't been over budget. We want to spend our budget to keep our community safe, but, the violent crime's down, so some of those numbers are down. But we are making sure that if we have a vacancy, we're filling it. Staffing-wise, I think we just graduated a class last week. We started a class 2 weeks ago. So we're filling the seats.
Do you need more, though, like 500 more, 100 more officers?
Oh, I'd love more cops.
Okay.
Yeah. And, it kind of goes back to what I said, every chief in America would like more cops. I think we're very busy here. I'd like to do more community policing. To allow that. But the reality is that there's only so much money in the city pot. And that's one of the things that our elected officials struggle with, I think, frequently, is where to put the money.
Well, we've talked about seeing enough applicants. I mean, we got a lot of jobs that are open in the aircraft industry right now, but how about applicants? You get enough people coming in the door?
We are. Yeah,
Really?
Yeah, we're doing okay. I mean, it's not numbers like in the 90s or even 7-8 years ago, but we are seeing good quality candidates with solid backgrounds and education and things that are important to us that, we're filling the seats with people that we think will make great police officers.
You've just talked about how tough it is to be a police officer. But so what do you say to a young person or any person who's considering a career in law enforcement? What do you say to them?
Well, it's a very noble profession, and there is probably no other field where you can make or very few other fields where you can make the difference like you can as a police officer in people's lives in a positive way.
All right. So you've been at it 3.5 years here in Wichita, and I'm not going to ask you when you're going to retire. We've already agreed off air we're going to do that. But you like the community? Obviously, you're going to stay a while, I think.
I do. Well, yeah. My kids, I've got a 9 and a 12-year-old, and they are very involved in sports. My family is most of the utmost importance to me, and I'm going to be here as long as the city will have me in one way or another.
What's the biggest challenge to you?
Just the volatility of policing in today's world, right?
Something new all the time, then.
Something, look at the number one TV shows, right? Oftentimes they're police-related,
yeah.
And people have a fascination with policing, but the reality is when we do something, it's very different than if the same thing happens in Parks and Rec or public utilities, right?
Right.
When was the last time you had Alan King on your show?
Well, it's been a while. It's been a while. But that's what gets you up in the morning, go out and fight crime, huh?
Yeah, I mean our people that come into policing, they love the profession. It's very few others like it.
So when you were a kid, did you want to be a superhero?
No.
Or a painter?
Or
a ball player.
I wanted to be a game warden.
That's a fun job. Can be kind of boring, but there you go.
That's why I didn't choose it.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, thanks for spending some time with us. It's always fun or interesting to talk with you and see what's going on with the police department. Hope you come back and see us again.
So thanks, Steve.
Our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. And, of course, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.